Welcome back to Sort of Sophisticated, the podcast where basically we try to bore you to death while you're driving on the highways of Southern California and bring you as much interesting information as we can until you either put a bullet in your skull or get in a crash.
Wow, you go way dark and like depressing.
I mean, what are we? What are we really doing?
I mean, I'm just letting you know.
What are we really? What
do you
are we
not
really
see the sweater? The sweatshirt I'm wearing. I am cozy today. I am living cozy.
Wait a second. Are you saying like you're a living, breathing, like poster child?
I am like
sort of.
I'm absorbing our last episode, and I'm living it.
ADHD galore. Your husband.
What about him?
He made us the new jingle.
The jingle.
Not even a jingle. It's not even.
It's a song,
folks. It's not even a jingle. It is a full on song that he like wrote lyrics to and recorded.
Did.
And I have no idea what it, we got to play this. We got to put this like on.
You need to.
Let's just put it on our socials. So. Okay. But basically it's like, how does it go? It goes sort of sophisticated, never overrated. We'll teach you things you never know you hated. Ba, 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 ba. It does some
it's very
other
fun.
Shit.
I think it actually should be our intro. Get rid of the drinking song.
Okay.
It's our intro.
You think so?
I think so.
I like the Slavic drinking song.
Yeah,
though.
But I think it's kind of like a fun little, it's a fun ditty.
All right.
Just
a little ditty.
It gets everyone in the mood. That's
Jack
all I'm saying.
Diane.
All I'm saying.
Two American kids. Okay.
So what's new with you today?
Do you really want to know what's new with me?
Kind of.
Oh, okay. I ended up
now.
In the ER over the weekend.
In the ER?
The emergency room.
What?
And there wasn't like
the first
even
time
like
I'm hearing of
there
this.
Wasn't even like a hot doctor or hot. No, by the way, like all those shows you watch
no,
on TV.
They're no, they're not real.
Not real
life.
At all. No. Mm-mm. I had some pretty ugly doctors.
Oh dear.
Okay, anyway. Okay. Yeah, so I had that eye thing again. You remember
I had
it before in my right eye.
Uh-huh.
It's called old man eye disease.
Oh.
Glaucoma, melanoma, carcinoma. No.
Oh, not melanoma.
No, no, no.
Don't do that one. Don't do that one.
No, that's cancer stuff.
Don't do that one.
Yeah. Okay. It's like glaucoma.
Glaucoma, yes.
Glaucoma and cataracts.
Okay.
Cataracts or cataract? I don't know. All right. Anyway, it's none of those. I ended up with what's called PVD, which is basically like some gel that like, you know, gets stuck in your eye and like
that's
settles.
So
it's when you're old. But it's very similar to a detached retina. And so like, if I didn't go to the ER, then like, and my retina detached, I'd be blind. So I didn't want that.
Okay.
So here's the funny part of the whole thing. While I'm in the ER, the doctor comes in and they don't know two shits about like
what's happening. Sure.
Well, because they're not there for eye stuff.
Yes, they're not ophthalmologists.
Let's start with that. So he comes in, he starts looking at me, he's like doing all the eye tests, and he's wearing a pair of glasses while he's doing it. And I'm like, Doc, do you really think you should be wearing a pair of glasses? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, pilots can't wear glasses. They need 20/20. But like somehow you are like,
I don't think the doctor needs to have 20/20.
I think it's bullshit. He's looking at my eyes trying to diagnose something in my eye with a pair of glasses on.
I
think doctors need to have 20/20. Do you want your brain surgeon to not have 20/20 vision? Like he's using tools and shit, looking at computers, images. Wait, I don't know.
He wasn't doing eye surgery on you.
I'm telling you just in general, doctors.
I can see just fine when I have my glasses on.
Whatever.
You know. Wow.
Anyway, that was my story.
Well, good
I'm fine.
To know.
I'm alive.
You have eye problems and you can never be a surgeon.
Yeah, okay.
You can never fly a plane.
Why do you always ask me about my weekend? I never ask about yours. What did you do? Did you do anything fun?
We did a team party.
Oh, let's go. You're still
soccer.
In that.
Soccer mom life. Yay.
And you had all like the trophies of like.
We did.
Oh
we
my
had
God,
little.
Most
we
improved
did.
And like
yeah.
biggest, you know, cheer person yeah. and like most loyal. No, not really. Whatever. Okay.
Committed?
Yeah. I just remember I used to give them candy bars. That was all it mattered.
Oh, yeah.
I'd give them an award. I'd give them a candy bar.
Trent. So we did it a little differently. Trent gave them a strong adjective. Mm-hmm. Maybe they weren't all adjectives,
okay.
but like valor or, you know, gladiator.
Could you do me a favor?
Force or.
Do you have them all written down?
He does, yeah.
We could use them as our words of the day.
Oh, I mean, let me tell you, these little fourth and fifth graders were like.
That's our podcast audience right there.
We did a bunch of definitions.
This is great.
But it was great. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was good.
Why don't they listen to Sorta Sophisticated, Never Overrated? Okay, sorry. Let's move on.
Yes. What is our topic for today,
sir? We haven't even introduced the topic.
You have not. We are like.
I thought we were on Word of the Day.
6 minutes in and.
Oh, this is embarrassing. Okay. We are talking about. We're doing an anniversary.
Okay.
We're doing a 100th birthday party celebration for none other than our main man, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke turning 100 like a years old.
Yes. I know. I just saw him recently.
Wait, why?
He was on some show. No, not in person.
Oh.
On a TV
segment.
Okay.
He's still going.
Yeah.
100 years old. The guy's still going. He's not like Jimmy Carter. You remember?
Yes, I know.
Remember when we did the Jimmy Carter episode and two weeks later?
Let's hope it's not.
Right.
Here we go.
And they rolled him out in the wheelchair.
I know. It was not good. It was not good.
Folks, listen to this. This was hysterical because we did that. It was like a while ago. I don't know. Go back and listen to the old episode.
Sure.
But Amanda then sends me, the week after we record the podcast, she sends me a picture of Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday party looking up at the sky with his mouth was wide open. Look, he looked dead.
He looked like he was dead.
Bad. Yeah. And they were celebrating his birthday.
Yeah.
And you're like, why did we do this? I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. So, but Dick Van Dyke, but he's still killing it. That guy's still up and around.
Super healthy.
Yeah, no. That guy's an animal. Total animal. Anyway, the official title is called Still Tapping at 100. Because he's,
still tap dancing.
He's a tap dancer. Yeah. The joyful genius of Dick Van Dyke. And we're going to talk about how this sort of tall, skinny kid from a small town in Illinois ended up becoming America's favorite sitcom dad, if you didn't know. Disney legend.
Boy, I knew that one.
Musical icon. And somehow, Amanda, the only man who's still tap dancing at 100 years old.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody else, but he is the...
No, bullshit. I don't believe it. There's not even people that are alive anymore at 100 years old. They all die early. And then we're going to talk about what we're doing about, because I'm sure there's some celebrations going on. So we're going to kind of like the other lady. Yeah. Thatcher. Girl, Margaret Thatcher. Yeah. I got a lot of shit for that episode.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. A lot of Irish people gave me shit.
Oh,
I got a lot of comments. Yeah, they were not happy. They're like, what are you doing? But I thought we gave both sides of she was good and she was bad. And
I mean, here's the thing. But we try to be neutral.
We're polarizing.
Try. We are.
Well, and, I am. I'm polarizing. Amanda's wonderful.
I was going to say.
There we go.
All right. So we're going to learn about Dick Van Dyke. He's 100. He's still tap dancing. But besides being this legend for TV and Disney and on Broadway, what else about him? That's already a lot. So, even covering those bases makes us cultured and curious. Right. So is there anything else in your little brain that you're trying to target?
I'm sorry. Did everybody just catch that?
Big brain.
Here are the nuance. This is Amanda. This is why I love you. Because you're the only person that could do that shit.
I didn't even mention it negatively.
Well, bullshit, you didn't. So I'm going to just go out and... there's nothing major different. But nobody has an 80-year career. I mean,
that's also crazy, if you think about
it. It's insane. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Because he's still going.
Yes. And he spans so many different Hollywood generations. So go all the way back to the vaudeville acts when they were doing miming and
silent television film?
Yeah, a little bit of silent film. Vaudeville was that silly, funny, dancey stuff where there was no music, but
slapstick.
A little slapsticky and no audio. They just did
it. Right, but did they do it in person?
Yeah, it was all in person. Yeah. Those were the acts back in the day. Right.
See, I don't know how can you be muted.
But that's how he started.
It's you turn off the TV.
So he started doing that and he's still alive. That's my point. And then he goes into TV. Then he goes to Hollywood. Broadway. Then he goes back to television, right? And then he does all the stand-up stuff. He was in radio, TV, everything. So I think that's sort of the culture is he did so many, genres. I don't know. Yeah. Because nobody really does that. Nobody has a career that long, realistically. Anyway, does that make sense?
I love it.
All right.
But I'm also now curious.
What?
Is there anything else? I guess mine is, I love your history. Are we going to talk about anything pre all of this? Did he just get his career and he launched? Are we talking about baby, Dick Van Dyke? Or are we...
We're going to talk about Little Dick.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Stop it.
Yeah. I have a little brain. Okay. Oh, we'll talk about
Little Dick. So not just the history of all the things he did.
Yeah. We're going to go from Little Dick all the way up to Big Dick.
Okay.
That's okay?
Yeah. I'm sorry I opened that door.
Yeah.
Why don't we just start with the word of the day?
Okay, great. I love that. All right, so our word of the day today is temerity.
Temerity.
T-E-M-E-R-I-T-Y. So temerity, but I say temerity. Yes.
Nope, got nothing.
You have nothing?
No.
You don't have
I can't even think of a word that's
termites.
No.
Nothing?
No, because it has an R.
Terminus?
There's temper.
Terminating?
No.
Okay, all right, anyway.
Because it's T-E-R. You said it's T-E-M.
It's T-E-M.
Yeah, I have
temerity.
No idea. Nope.
Okay, good.
Tumultuous. That's the closest thing I got.
Okay, I'll do tumultuous. Temerity is just a fancy way of saying you had the nerve to do something you definitely should have thought about for 5 seconds before you actually decided to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, should have ran it through your brain a little longer?
Yeah. like Elon Musk. Anything Elon Musk does, he is full of temerity.
Okay.
Right? So like you got to think of temerity like sort of bold, like audacious. Like you have to have balls to do it. But it's not like just like you didn't think it through.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like impetuous. That's a little too soft. Temerity is like, no, I'm doing it anyway.
Okay.
Like it's sort of a fuck you moment.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So it comes from the Latin root temere, which means by accident or without thinking. And it's basically just a way to say, oh shit, you really just did that.
All right, well, let's go. Tell me everything I need to know about the temerarious Dick Van Dyke in 30 minutes or less.
Can you really do that? Can you just change it from like a noun to an adjective?
Temerarious? So.
That just rolled.
I don't know. I just want to get it out of the way. Like done.
So you just won.
Yeah, sure. Oh,
bullshit.
I don't know if Temerius.
I don't know if Temerius counts, but I'm going to say that was awesome that you just threw that shit in there like that. So good for you.
I mean, here we are.
All right,
okay.
That counts.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Little Dick. You start with Little Dick?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Baby Dick Van Dyke.
No. Was born Richard Wayne Van Dyke.
Okay.
Born this like gross, like wet baby all covered
Stop.
In placenta.
Gross. Like, why? Why?
Yeah, came out and then they had to cut the cord. Because I want people to know. That they're just, everybody's born the same way, Amanda. We're all born the same way.
No, I just like the rise.
Maybe I do. Okay. I don't know. So he's born in West Plains, Missouri. Missouri! You know what Missouri is? It's the show me state. You know Missouri?
Oh.
Yeah.
State I didn't
motto?
Know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know California state motto?
The golden.
You're a terrible human.
State?
No, that's the golden state. It is Eureka, right? Because that's where they found all the gold.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
Terrible motto.
Let's get back on track. He was born on December 13th, 1925.
Dang, 1925. Yeah. Okay.
And didn't stay in West Plains very long at all.
Why?
Because he didn't want to. He looked at his parents when he was 3 months old.
Oh, God.
And he said, Mama, Mommy, Daddy, I want to move.
So where did he crawl his little baby ass?
Crawled his little dick over to Danville, Illinois, baby. That's where he went. Danville,
okay.
For all of you playing at home, is about 150 miles south of Chicago.
Okay.
Like straight down.
Sure.
Like, well, Chicago's up.
Sure.
Like on the,
I don't
you know,
care.
Okay. It's like really close to like Indiana.
Great.
Okay. Oh,
somewhere right. Over there.
A little small town. Okay.
Got it. Understood.
Where like everybody knows each other's name.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Like Cheers. Sure. You remember Cheers? Sure. The bar Cheers?
You have to list the biggest metro area.
I hate you. I don't even know why we do this together. Okay. So he grows up this tall, skinny teenage kid who looks a lot like the kids from Stranger Things, you know, all those lanky sort of.
I mean, they're just growing. They're teenagers. They're growing into their bodies.
Can we do an episode on Stranger Things?
Sure.
Or what, man?
I know. It's coming out. Number two.
This is happening.
Number three? No, final.
Go,
the final.
Do you have to go number two?
No.
What's happening? Number two's coming out? Number five's coming out?
Yeah, I'm at five.
What is this? What is this number two bullshit?
I had a count.
All right. Anyway.
I meant Stranger Things is coming out too. The game
is that what you meant? Oh, got it. Okay,
snowball downhill from
illiteracy. That was very temerarious of you. Okay,
Did not run through my brain an extra 5 seconds.
No, just fell out. So he immediately was into drama. Like he was drawn to drama even when he was a kid.
Okay.
So like he's like in church programs.
Natural.
Yeah. He's doing school plays. He's doing like drama club, like all that kind of stuff. Right, for sure. Fun fact. He even thought about being a minister for a minute, but not for the reasons you would think. He actually just liked to perform until one of his teachers was like, dude, you'd be way better making people laugh than actually trying to like make a
convert
sermon or
people.
Tell. Yeah, exactly. So sorry, kid. No good for you.
Fuck
so
he was people's like, afterlife.
He was like, fuck, dream crushed. I guess this is over.
What did he do?
He just kept at it. That's what he did.
No, but he didn't become a minister,
no, so he just kept at it, like the drama club stuff.
Okay.
So he's like, all his friends, Danville, Illinois. I don't know what there is to do in Danville,
Illinois. I don't know.
Who cares, right? Cow tipping.
Sure.
I don't even know, right? They're just doing the things they do. They're getting drunk, whatever. But he was practicing these little comedy routines he made up, messing around at radio stations, just like honing his shtick, right? Like realizing what he wanted to do because he had totally found his calling. He wasn't trying to be famous or anything, like at this early stage. He was just like doing what he loved.
Okay,
you know
so he was just a young kid experimenting with
life,
what his passion was.
Yes.
Okay. Fair.
And unfortunately for me, it took me 50 years before I realized I should do that too. And
here we are.
Recruited you for this wonderful podcast.
Here we are.
Anyway,
here's the podcast. So then, did he get famous from doing his little shtick?
No. No, you don't get famous from doing your little shtick.
Oh, okay.
Little Dickie had
so
a little shtick.
Happened.
All right. Slow burn, man.
I mean, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
He's
slow
finding himself, his passions, blah, blah, blah.
Relax,
and then.
Relax. We get to it. We're in history.
You got 30 minutes. You're taking so long.
Okay. All right, fine. World War II happens.
Oh, well, shit.
Everything is like that, right? It's like, it's always the bomb drop, right? World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
Television.
Okay, okay.
It's always major events, right?
Yeah,
so this one was World War II, and he had to enlist. So he goes into World War II. But when he enlisted in the Air Force. He went in as a radio.
Did he have 20/20 vision?
He did. God, I like that. That was good. They needed him. Put me in, coach. He went in as a radio announcer and an entertainer because by that time they realized it wasn't like they were just recruiting people for front line all the time. They wanted people in certain jobs. They were like, dude, that guy, like, he's got a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea was he was supposed to rally the troops. So it was sort of like, you remember the USO, you know, like Bob Hope and the whole, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like he was working for the USO, but not really. Like he was really in the military doing it, which was kind of cool. And actually, that's where he learned to sort of like hone his skill because he's on the radio all the time talking to all these troops. So he was learning about timing. He was learning about how like to perfect his craft, right?
So that while serving the country,
yeah.
He was leaning into his passion and using things, his skills.
An absolute side note, because I don't want to forget about personal life shit. It was around this time too that he married his like hometown sweetheart from Danville, good old Margie, before he left. Margie Willett. Yeah. Right?
All
right. They ended up having four kids.
Okay.
Four kids. Yeah. Christian, Barry, Stacy, and Carrie Beth.
All right.
Right?
That's I know nothing about them.
Right.
Interesting.
This guy's trying to like build a career in show business. Mm. He's changing diapers. Mm. He's in the military. Who is this guy? Right?
He's just been a good old dad.
Good old Dickie Van Dyke. Right? Let's go. Okay. So then after the war and the whole like military thing, like, he's done. Yeah. Did his duty. He bounces around a little bit because, I mean, he's got mouths to feed.
Okay, yeah. So he gets out of the war.
Yeah, he's not bringing for a job. He's not moving back home with mom and dad with Margie.
Well,
that ain't happening.
Well, that's
right?
good.
So he's doing everything. Radio DJ, car salesman, wrote ads for department stores for a while. He was even a weatherman for a second. He was. Fun fact about being a weatherman. You ready for this?
Yeah.
He got fired like in his first week on the job. He did this for 1 week, right? Because he would make up the weather reports on the air because he admitted that he didn't understand them.
Maybe that's why we actually need meteorologists in those positions.
Is that really like a science? Does that really count?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Have you seen the meteorologist nowadays? There's a very certain kind of meteorologist.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
They look a certain way.
Okay. Yes. All right. But anyway.
So that's not how we got famous then.
No.
Someone didn't see him on TV and was like, that guy, we need that guy.
Not at all. But what that taught him, if I may say so, is it taught him resilience because he had to do all these jobs, right? So first of all, he's honed his timing.
Yes.
He knows how to perform. And now all this resilience. What was our word of the day? It was like last week or something. It was what we were, obdurate, right? Resilient, I think it was. Yeah. Okay. So he was obdurate. That was him. He wasn't, temerarious?
Temerity.
He was obdurate.
No, temerity.
Temerity.
It was our technical word of the day today.
This mofo was obdurate.
Okay. So then when did he actually get famous? And what was he doing when he got famous?
I can't tell you.
Like an accident?
I'd have to kill you.
Oh. Well,
yeah. It comes in the late 1940s.
Okay.
So he's like 25 years old, like 49, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
1949, somewhere around there. Teams up with this guy, one of his friends, bestie, Phil Erickson. And they form a comedy duo called The Merry Mutes.
They're doing comedy, but they're mute?
Yes. Physical comedy, right? So this guy's like tall.
This is where the slapstick, black.
You gotta imagine who he is, right? Like he's tall, he's lanky, he's got a lot of facial expressions, like super elastic face. He jumps around like Jim Carrey.
Oh,
think Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very similar, but like Jim Carrey came out in what, the 90s? I don't know what it was. So like, but this was like back in the day when vaudeville was a thing. So like, this was hysterical, and nobody was really doing this in the duo set. I mean, they had comedians, they had things happening, but this was sort of like a new-ish.
He was like pushing the limit.
Yeah. So basically, what ended up happening was somebody found him. They literally like went around America, nightclubs, little shows, wherever they could get work, literally like did the grind until somebody found him.
Okay.
Some Broadway producer guy came a-calling.
All right.
And signed him up, said you're awesome, and he starred in Bye Bye Birdie in 1960. And that was super, super famous. He played a songwriter who was trying to manage his rock star, quote-unquote rock star, and all the critics went bonkers for him, and he won a Tony.
Wow.
In 1960, yeah.
That's crazy.
He was like that good, which then subsequently moved him from Broadway to television, because television became a thing. Remember 1950?
Yeah.
So television hits. So 10 years later, they're like trying to fill the airwaves with all this television. And he stars in the Dick Van Dyke Show, which is where like he went super favorite sitcom dad. Like,
got it.
Do you remember the Dick Van? Did you ever watch Dick Van Dyke's Hour? Yes. Or not really?
I mean, I'd watch reruns, but not like originally. Yeah, yeah, right. Clearly, I was not alive.
I wasn't even born. Okay, bring it down a notch. We can both say we weren't born, right? But that, but the whole idea of the sitcom, like he more or less created. I mean, there were other sitcoms out before it. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But the concept of sort of the dad comes home from work, dad's got his work, they see the neighbors, they hang out, there's funny things that happen. Like, I mean, every sitcom is based on the Dick Van Dyke Show. Huh. That's like the whole concept.
And so that's how he gets to be known as like the dad you want to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Because up to that point, dads were like stuffy and, you know, came home from work. They didn't even have lines in the shows. Like, really. I mean, they were just there. It was mostly the moms or like, I Love Lucy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, she took over the show.
That's true.
Right? And they didn't even have kids in that show. Right? Yeah. So this was like a dad who would hug his kids and like talk.
So it was like a different version of the traditional dad.
He made
or not the traditional, but like the dad, the normal dad that was presented as the one who was always being the worker, the hard worker, wearing a suit, coming home. Mom takes care of everything. But he was now like the dad that was involved.
Yes, absolutely.
So he becomes America's favorite dad, basically. And then he flies a car. Like, how does that transition happen to like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chitty Bang Bang and
Chitty,
Mary
Chitty
Poppins.
Bang Bang, We Love You.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. He's a TV star, so he obviously is getting picked up for roles.
Well, right, because you got to... Do you remember Chemistry of Cozy?
Yes.
Right. So, like...
Clearly. Everybody, my sweatshirt.
Like, he took over America. I mean, people would sit in front of the television. Television,
yeah, yeah.
Like I said, brand new. And watch all this stuff. And so, it was so easy for him then to... Like, they just sucked him up right away into movies. Right? Hollywood was like bonkers for him.
Okay.
So, okay, hold on though. But I got to go sideways first for a second because I want to go back to personal life. There's like two paths going on here, right? It's like getting married, doing things in his life, but then there's like his movie career.
Well, it's like his professional life and home life.
Personal life. Okay, got it. So at the same time, all this crap's happening. Shit starts hitting the fan a little bit. So he starts down this road of like, I don't know, getting drunk a lot and became an alcoholic.
Okay.
So spoiler alert, he's an alcoholic for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. From like when he's 40 years old to like 80 years old. And then now he's been sober for the last 20 years. Like,
oh, wow.
Totally fine.
Okay.
High functioning drunk. Like, don't get me wrong.
Well, because clearly, I mean, because we haven't covered Mary Poppins and
It did suck. Mm-hmm. But my point of all, like, he really struggled with fame. So he loved performing.
Yeah.
But he didn't love entertaining people afterwards. So he had to go to parties. Uh-huh. He had to go on television. He had to do shows. He had to do like all sorts of interviews, all that kind of shit.
So it just took the edge off.
Oh, my God.
So he could do all the things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What do you call it? What do you, when you drink? Liquid courage.
No, yes.
Yeah. What I need for this podcast.
I don't think you do.
Okay. Well, what most people need for a podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah. What I should need podcast.
No, yeah. It's good that you don't. It's good that you don't.
Yeah. So that kind of sucked because like for a long time he was like on the wagon?
Oh, off I don't know. Wagon? Yeah, I don't know.
There's a wagon.
Wrong. Yes. Okay. Wrong personality.
But we agree there's a wagon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So he's on or around a wagon for a really long time. And then he does the opposite thing at the end of his life. Well, he's not dead yet, but then he's like in a better position.
Well, I did not see that coming, to be honest. I didn't even know that he was a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. But anyway, let's get back on track. So,
does he talk about that?
He does.
Okay.
Well, now, like, while he was an alcoholic.
Sure. But afterwards,
Yes. Now he like looks back and he's like, okay, and yada, yada, yada. And I think like he has good relationships with his whole family and everything. Everything I looked up, like, there was nothing bad.
So then is the joy and all the radiance that he exudes, is that because he was drunk all the
time? No, absolutely not. No, that wasn't who he was. No. That was only like off screen. No, he was excellent. He was a maniacal,
so genuinely
joyful. Oh,
okay.
That is how he won the hearts of America. I mean, this guy exuded.
I mean, well, you see it in Mary Poppins.
Yes, you
right?
see it everywhere. Right. No.
Which also, now that you've like told me the timeline, you're telling me that when he did Mary Poppins, he's about 40, which kind of blows my mind. Because he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
In Mary Poppins.
Yeah, he was hot AF.
Okay. Like,
we're not messing around here. 40-year-old. Wait, what do you think of me?
Well, you're over 40, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so just put me in the box.
I'm just kidding.
Right. Okay, that was really nice of you. Anyway, okay, so back to whatever the hell was we're talking about. Oh, we're talking about Mary Poppins.
Yes,
so then, so Hollywood picks him up. He does Mary Poppins.
Yep.
It goes absolutely bonkers.
Okay.
And then, well, he's Bert, right? Mary Poppins.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
sorry.
Yes,
for those of you playing at home.
Yeah.
He's the chimney sweep.
Yep.
He dances with the penguins. He does excellent. I went down that rabbit hole
Oh.
with the whole Mary Poppins.
Nope.
Wait, you don't even know what you don't know what I'm going to say.
Nope. I know you, and I don't know if we want to talk about that. Do not ruin Mary Poppins for me.
I'm not. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to say, like, you're going to hold Julie Andrews in high regard. They did not hump.
Why does your brain go there?
I thought that because I'm a man.
Oh my gosh.
That's all.
I can't.
We're so basic.
Well, I am glad that they did not.
There was no humping. There was no humping on screen. Well, because the whole idea of Mary Poppins was he liked her. Like, they were.
Okay, but not every, like.
Do you know men?
I don't know.
Do you know men and women can't be friends?
I have.
Do you know they can't be friends?
Yes, I can.
Have you seen When Harry Met Sally? They cannot be friends. Billy Crystal, you were correct in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh God.
Men and women can't be friends. We got to get back on track.
Where the hell? Because you were so far down.
I don't even know
some rabbit hole.
I don't even know where I am.
Julie Andrews.
Okay, so then they go to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
We love you.
Yeah, yeah, so good. Yeah. He's a dad, and he's got the kids in the car,
it's
and
really
they're flying.
Cute.
And,
it's cute.
And I just rewatched that where, like, the car, right, actually, like, does the backfire.
Okay.
Boom, and that's how it, like, starts, because he's like, oh my God, that's a bang bang. Chitty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang, and
you didn't get that.
And, no,
I don't want to even know what you thought bang bang was. Focus.
I just rewatched it. It was just really good.
It's a good one.
So he goes from. So he goes like, whatever, Mr. Potts. I don't know what he, Mr. Potts. I think.
Yeah, I think
it.
So.
Yeah, I don't remember his first name because it was really hard to say. So anyway, the whole reason he's like super famous at this time, he goes from now. Imagine Comfort TV, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Then goes in. Mary Poppins, Titty Shitty Bang Bang, does a bunch of other shit too, don't get me wrong. Yep. Think of what's going on at the time.
Okay.
We're in the middle of the 1960s, like, I don't know, 65, 66, 67, like, right? So you got the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Right? You got major protests going on all over the place. You got Nixon being a lunatic. You got JFK died in 62.
This is very,
you get
very
Martin
terrible.
Luther King who dies, right? Right? Or 64, I think it was. Like, a lot of bad shit. So Hollywood is pushing this, like, enigmatic, joyful, like, awesome.
Right, because he was the anomaly of the time.
He was...
He exuded.
He was making America smile when America didn't want to smile.
Mm.
And for decades, but through the 60s especially, it was escapism times 10.
Yeah.
Times
so total,
10.
Like, right time, right guy.
Oh,
America needed him.
Unbelievable.
Hence why he became this legend and America's sweetheart of sorts.
Yes, he absolutely hit, like, galactic fame because of what was going on.
Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Have you noticed, like, he doesn't age.
No, he doesn't age.
I mean, he does. Obviously, he has gray hair and, yes, certain things. But, like, he's still tap dancing.
Okay.
He did all of these movies.
Okay, let's just start with the fact that because, number one, he exudes joyfulness and gratitude. Absolutely right.
I know this is, I think, what you think the fountain of youth is.
It is. And then, and physically, he, like, takes care of himself. Yeah. He's one in a billion. It's not even one in a million. Yeah. He's one in a billion, right? Think of people who define their career. Like Dick Van Dyke in acting is like LeBron James in, like, the NBA.
Sure.
Or like
the anomaly.
Or like Tom Brady in the NFL. Like, there are people that defy the odds because they're not, it's not because they're good at their craft.
Right.
They love what they do. And then they physically take care of themselves. So it's a combination of joy and physicality.
Yes.
So this guy doesn't, like, ever slow down. He keeps going. So the 70s and 80s, he does a little bit of everything because now everybody wants him. Like, he's the hottest commodity there is. Variety shows, guest spots everywhere, a couple more TV sitcoms, still drinking, you know, because these are all the things where he's like, I got to drink. More movies, Disney specials. Wait, personal shit.
Oh, okay.
Back to personal shit.
Parallel.
Yeah, we're paralleling this. Sad part. So around the same time, we're in the late 70s, after 35 years of marriage to Margie.
Oh, sad day.
He gets a divorce. No drama, though. Mm-hmm. No juicy stuff. There was nothing here. I looked it up. I thought it was because of Julie Andrews. It wasn't because of Julie Andrews.
Oh, my gosh.
There was another woman, but, like, later. Like, it was sort of like she was around.
It
wasn't technically because of. Yeah, they just said they grew apart. He was busy with his career and his schedule and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and they both said their marriage wasn't a priority anymore.
He was the ideal dad on TV, but maybe not the ideal husband.
Yeah. Yeah. And I looked up if alcoholism was a part of it, and they said no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. So they officially divorced in 1984 after being separated for, like, a lot of years, like 10 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
It's kind of like the Hollywood sad story. Womp womp. But does he get remarried? I'm sure he is. He's married now.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he's married.
Oh, he gets remarried. Fun fact. I have one later.
Okay.
It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
And it helps me in my situation.
Oh, Lord.
Too.
Okay.
So
I'm not sure if I'm ready for this.
Prepare to get mind blown. Where was I?
90s-ish.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, here we go. Shit gets real again. 1990. right?
Doing all these like interviews, shows, gets divorced, 1996.
Here we go again. Ready? Diagnosis, murder.
That's right.
Do you remember?
It was him.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Diagnosis. All the Gen Zers nowadays watching whatever it is, Grey's Anatomy reruns in ER. Dude, Diagnosis, murder.
It was OG.
That's where it's at. Let's go. All right. So like, he basically was this genius grandpa-like doctor guy named Dr. Mark Sloan. Mark Sloan. At some fake hospital they made up right here in Los Angeles. Let's go. LA. Who apparently also just decided that it wasn't enough to be a doctor. He wanted to
solve
murders as a side hustle. Yes, because that's totally normal. Basically, every episode went like this. Somebody died, of course. It's a hospital. Yeah, well, or gets murdered, and murdered, they roll him into the hospital. And the police are confused, and they're scratching their head. And Dr. Mark Sloan raises an eyebrow, because he could do that like Jim Carrey. Solves the whole thing, and then goes back to his nightly rounds.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
He was very good at it.
Dun, dun.
I watched reruns of that all the time with my parents.
It is the most wholesome crime-solving show you've ever seen. Everybody loved
it. That's
true. Comfort TV. This guy was the king of Comfort TV.
Fair.
Okay. Fun fact. Fun fact.
Okay.
Yeah. His actual real-life son played a detective that he worked with on the show.
I did not know that.
Yes. How cool would that be to work with your son
or
daughter? I would love it.
I guess that's
If you're acting, yeah.
That's true.
Like if you actually had to work with them and like make them do stuff, that'd be different. But like, yeah. Anyway.
But it would all be a big game to you. So I can see why you would think it would be fun.
It would be totally cool. I would love that.
All right. So basically becomes, now a doctor, a detective. So he reinvented his image.
Well, not a real doctor.
No, but I mean like as an actor, right?
I only play one on TV.
He finally broke free of just like tap dancing and being in musicals, etc.
Yes, except he still did all that shit on the side.
Well, sure. Yeah. He's just a new genre that he got into.
Just reinventing himself all the time, smoking. He was a smoke show, total smoke show. Let's go. You said he was hot. What do you want me to say?
Fair, I don't remember what he looked like in Diagnosis Murder. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I just looked him up right now. He's still hot.
Okay, well, right. I mean.
No shame,
he does look good for 100,
I must say. Amen to that.
Okay, wait, so he worked on Diagnosis Murder with his son. But what happened to his like co-host from like the OG days? Did he become as famous as Dick?
The vaudeville days?
Yeah.
First of all, nobody's as famous as
Dick. What's his name? Erickson?
Erickson. Phil Erickson. No, of course. What's going to happen
with
Phil?
Obviously, he's not as popular.
Phil goes and fills a hole. That's what he does, right? Because there's nothing there. It's Phil. It's not Dick. You got to be a dick to be famous. Not just Phil.
Okay.
What do you call a man with no arms and no legs in a ditch? Phil. Okay. All right. Let me tell you what happens to Phil.
Oh, my God.
All right. Phil Erickson, the guy from the Merry Mutes. Nothing happens to him, really. I mean, listen, there was no like big drama or anything between these guys. But like Dick had star quality Phil didn't have. So Phil was in Hollywood. His whole career was in Hollywood.
Okay.
But just never sort of like made it big. But he performed and worked and did the grind, but just never hit the one role that launched him like Dick did with Bye Bye Birdie on Broadway. So not a failure. Just, like, shout out to Phil Erickson.
Just not a legend.
But right. I'll tell you this.
I guess his legendariness is maybe being in the original.
With Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here you go. We're not doing a podcast on Phil Erickson.
No, sorry.
Snooze fest. Sorry.
Maybe not. Maybe he's very
But they're super good friends. I checked it all out. They stayed super good friends until he died. Yeah.
Okay. So fast forward through the 90s because we kind of filled that, I think, with Diagnosis Murder. Yeah. Now we're in what, 2000s?
Yeah, we're in 2000s, but we're skipping around now because basically we're done now because now he's aging out. Like, he's getting old. But I do want to bring up, the guy never stopped dancing. Like, never, we're talking about, you know, reinventing himself. So this guy is like, that's his secret. We talked about his joyfulness, but then also his physicality.
Yep.
So this guy, like, literally was dancing into his 90s. In 2018, at 93 years old, they do a reboot of Mary Poppins. It's called Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And he doesn't play Bert.
No.
He doesn't play Chimmy Sweet. He plays a guy named Mr. Dawes, and I just rewatched it. He does a dance scene where he starts tap dancing.
Yeah, it's like on a roof.
No, on a... He gets
a table,
up on
sorry.
A table. Yes, he gets up on a fucking... On a desk and starts friggin' ripping a thing.
Sorry, but it's reminiscent of when he was on the roof.
Absolutely.
So it's like his
my point
that?
Is...
Flashback?
93 years old, they don't have him in some crap side part. They got the guy doing an entire number.
It's true.
Which is
ridiculous. I mean,
ridiculous.
At 93 is crazy.
Yes, just... Dude, if you guys don't want to watch any of this shit, just go on YouTube and watch that 3-minute scene. It is absolutely amazing.
It was so good.
Right.
So good.
So here's the thing, because people ask, it's a big question.
He
always gets asked, like, what's the secret to life, right? Oh my God, you're 99 years old. He is the secret. He is the secret.
Why is he the secret?
Because of his joy, right? Wait, here's the quote. You ready for the quote?
Yes.
Okay. staying youthful isn't about avoiding age. It's about avoiding cynicism. Oh, I'm going to die.
Yeah,
I'm fucked.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry, keep you're moving. Not making to 100.
Right. Keep moving, keep laughing, keep learning. And it's not just physical, it's emotional too.
Okay.
Dude, the man radiates gratitude. He's been through loss, reinventions, personal challenges, alcoholism, right? But never once let bitterness set in. People could learn a whole lot about how to get busy living from this guy. But anyway, very, very Dick Van Dyke, very inspiring.
He is.
Very, very inspiring.
Yes. Not in a cheesy way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And this is why we're Warm doing a podcast way. On him. And that's why.
I mean, because he's like 100.
100th birthday is a whole extravaganza.
So is he throwing a rager? Is anything big happening? Is his town doing anything? Is anyone doing anything? I mean, it's kind of a big deal. 100's a big deal.
Well, we're doing something. I mean, we just did a whole damn podcast. So what? That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Think anybody's doing a podcast for me when I'm 100 years old?
I mean,
I'm going to be in the damn box.
Okay. Well, here we are. Here we are. So.
All right. Number one, there's a movie coming out, a documentary, new one.
Okay.
Okay. It's called Dick Van Dyke, 100th Celebration. Very sophisticated title, right? What's that all about? Why could they think of something better than that? Okay. Anyway, it's hitting theaters on his actual birthday, December 13th.
Okay.
Let's go. We got to figure this out. Watch it somewhere. Plus, PBS is airing a special from the series American Masters titled Starring Dick Van Dyke. That's the title.
Oh.
Starring Dick Van Dyke. That premieres on December 12th. And I quote, features some never-before-seen footage. Major interviews with stars like Julie Andrews, probably admitting finally that she banged him, and Steve Martin, and traces his eight decade career from radio DJ to TV legend movie icon. Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's going to be Hollywood's doing shit.
Yeah. I love it. I love that Hollywood's doing shit for it. But like, I think originally I had asked you if there's any hometown stuff happening.
Oh, there's hometown. Totally. Dude, Danville's going crazy.
I mean, you have to be. It's West like your Plains, claim to fame.
West Plains ain't doing anything. Because he crawled out of West Plains.
3 months.
He was three high. Bye. That's why he started in Bye Bye Birdie. Because he said, bye. Okay. So, yeah. No. Danville's totally doing something. So, they're hosting a two-day festival at some place called the Fisher Theater. On December 6th and 7th, called Fisher Fest, celebrating the life and legacy of Dick Van Dyke. Why are they calling it Fisher Fest? Why don't they call it Dick Fest?
Because it's at the Fisher Center. Wait. So, oh man.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they should call it
Dick. I literally thought that was like a legitimate question.
Dick Fest?
And you just.
I like that. I think they should rebrand it to Dick Fest. Okay. So on December 6th, huge party, right? Like huge dinner, hors d'oeuvres, live art. Early premiere of the documentary that's coming out a week later.
Okay.
So a big thing in that town. And then on that Sunday, the 7th, they're going to screen like all his old films all over the town.
Very cool.
A full day event for everybody to watch together. So kind of cool.
Oh, like, I wonder if he's going to be there.
You remember Grant Park Gets Groovin'? We did the jazz festival.
Yeah.
I think they're doing like, they're opening all of Danville to it.
Very cool.
Would be kind of like, not going, obviously, I know, but like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I wonder if he'll go. I wonder if he'll like make a cameo appearance.
I wonder if he would. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. Go back to your roots. I don't know. Anyways. Okay. Love it all. But where are my fun facts? I know you sprinkled a little bit in there, but then you have one that you have yet to go back to. So I need to get to that one.
I have no fun facts. I didn't prepare.
Bullshit.
At all.
Sure you didn't.
I know, right?
No.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Number one. He loved his barbershop music. Like, really loved it. He did it his whole life, like a barbershop quartet.
His whole
life. He started singing in a barbershop quartet in 1939.
I think of the dance from Disneyland.
He's 14 years old. He started. Even in his 90s, he's performing with his group, the Vanna Sticks.
That's cool.
Yes.
I love
it. They sing in malls, charity events, basically anywhere they can get a gig. Dude,
oh, so good.
Can you imagine like going into like Fashion Island and running into Dick Van Dyke still playing? Like,
I love it.
This is my point of how he stays young. Like,
for sure.
Because he's just like living the life.
Well, because he's doing what he loves, right? Yeah, and that's kind of like, isn't that?
I think it's excellent. All right, number two. This one's wild. You're going to love this one. He once fell asleep while driving on the 101, like the freeway.
Fell asleep?
And his car literally caught fire.
How does that even happen?
He got crashed and caught fire because he's old. I don't know. Or he's drunk.
Oh my God.
I shouldn't say that. Okay. I don't know. But he did. Okay. And then he was rescued by a random jogger who totally like got him out of the car before he burned. Oh, yes.
Well, thank goodness for the jogger. Yeah, we wouldn't be celebrating
the jogger
his birthday and having this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, jogger.
Kudos.
Man, guy. We don't even know. Okay. Number three. So even though he danced his whole life, did you know he was never trained as a classical dancer?
I mean, okay. One, blows my mind that that's true, but tracks because you didn't ever bring up that he actually went to school or did, you know, any of that.
I know. Yeah, I would
have. So then how did he learn how to dance?
In his living room.
What?
I know. Yeah. So he watched old reruns of Fred Astaire movies and just sat there and memorized the dance. Okay. Yes, and just practiced and practiced and practiced. He was obdurate.
All right.
Resilience.
Well, yeah.
Resilience, okay, baby. Okay, he did it. Natural talent and sheer grit.
Evidently.
I love it. Huh. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Number four. Remember I said I had the fun fact about getting...
Yeah. This is the one I want to know about.
Okay.
Okay, I've been waiting.
Here we go. 2012.
2012?
He got remarried. He was 86 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Hot AF still. Right?
I guess.
He gets remarried to a woman named Arlene Silver,
uh-huh,
who, get this, Amanda, was 40 years old when he married her. 40.
I got questions.
Uh-huh. He's 86. She's 40. 46-year age gap.
Yeah, but that means that she's younger than his kids.
All his kids. I looked that shit up.
Oh, no.
His kids were 62, 61, 57, and 52 at the time. She was 40 years old.
It's like Belichick. I don't know how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see why there's still hope for me?
Oh, gosh.
Do you know what that means?
I will totally make fun of you.
Can we do quick math?
Oh, totally.
I can marry a 6-year-old.
Is she born?
No, she's 6.
Ew, that's my daughter's age.
Oh, my God. Let's go, Emmy.
Oh.
All right. Ready? Okay, number 5. This one's pretty weird, too.
I don't know if they can get weirder than that.
Okay, shut up. Okay, so when he was a young up-and-comer performing at all these nightclubs, he actually passed out on stage one night because...
Are you sure he's not narcoleptic? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. No, air quality. Right, I guess these nightclubs would get pretty filled up with cigarette smoke. I mean, that makes sense. It was the 40s. It's not like OSHA. Like, they didn't even have OSHA. It's not like they were out there patrolling nightclubs.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess he fainted and they had to call the paramedics and everything, but he was fine. Just like a good old-fashioned lack of oxygen because of all the people in there.
All right.
You know, smoking on the cancer sticks.
Okay. Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Anyway, glad he made it back.
Yep.
They resuscitated him.
Oh, man.
And finally, I saved the best one for last. Dick Van Dyke had a thing for practical jokes.
Well, come on.
Duh.
Is that a fun fact?
It is a fun, but fun, like uplifting practical jokes. Not like the practical jokes you see on TV where everyone's like an ass to each other nowadays, because I don't even watch that shit. I think it's terrible.
Okay.
So check this. During the filming of Diagnosis Murder, he would sit in wheelchairs and roll himself into scenes in the background.
Nah, that's funny.
Unannounced, just to see if anybody would catch
him.
Like he'd roll through the back of the screen. I think that's kind of funny. Then in 2018, for Mary Poppins Returns, remember he played Mr. Dawes, he didn't play Bert.
Yeah.
But he shows up on set as Bert, at like a 93-year-old man with like the whole like chimney sweep, like soot-colored suit. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And started dancing for everybody there. And they were like, oh my God, totally like reminiscent of his birthday. So like cool pranking stuff. Like,
love it.
Like 90 years old pranking people. I love it. Like, go Dick.
That's what you're going to be if you make it to 90.
I hope so. Shit, I don't even know if I'm making it 60.
Oh, come
90.
On.
90. Right?
Well, that's sad.
Well, yeah, because I got to marry your daughter first.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
That's all I got.
I was just going to say you did such a good job, and then we're going to end on that one.
And they take it all back.
Right.
My bad.
All right. Well, it does seem like Dick Van Dyke was like one of the most delightful humans on earth. Hopefully,
he was.
You know, genuinely
a
good guy, right?
Unless he was drunk.
Or
divorcing
or
somebody.
Marrying my 6-year-old daughter.
Right. So there's those parts. But mostly fun.
Mostly fun. So if there's anything that like people want to do to... maybe further their knowledge or, you know, be more in the Dick Van Dyke mood, I guess.
What do we do?
Yeah.
How do we scratch that itch?
Yeah. Or how do you learn more in order to like emulate more of his joyfulness?
You know it. It's all, I got books, I got documentaries, I got, right.
Well, you
did
already say watch the documentary.
Yeah, yeah. So watch
the
documentary. We'll do that December 13th. His memoir's out, My Lucky Life.
Oh.
Actually, so by the way, he wrote 5 books.
Whoa.
But they're all good, but I mean, I haven't read them all, but A lot of good reviews. But I did read My Lucky Life in and out of show business. And that is like the one. Like if you had to pick one of them, pick that one for sure.
Okay.
And if you need something lighter, just like go back and watch like Mary Poppins or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or any reruns of episodes. Like anything, because he's just fun. Right. So not a lot of heavy lifting to learn more about him. I mean, just, you know, or
be
go to Dan
aura.
Or go over to Danville. Let's just hang out. Right. Just be around his aura. And then remember these details to seem sort of sophisticated. Dick Van Dyke, the lanky kid from Danville, Illinois, went from church plays and local radio to becoming America's favorite sitcom dad on The Dick Van Dyke Show. Number 2, he reinvented the idea of fun dad on TV. Physical comedy, warmth, and charm. Totally different from the stiff sitcom fathers before him. Number 3. In the 1960s, he became a full-blown movie star with Mary Poppins in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, We Love You, bringing pure optimism to a chaotic world at the time. Number 4, he stayed relevant for decades, reinventing himself again in the 1990s with Diagnosis Murder, acting alongside his real-life son. And finally, he somehow never aged, dancing, singing, and performing into his 90s, even appearing in Mary Poppins Returns at age 93. And the best part, Dick Van Dyke didn't just entertain America. He made America smile for the last 100 years. What a legacy.
That he was, man. All right. Well, there you have it, fellow listeners. A joyful century-spanning glide through the charming, chaotic, and magical world of Dick Van Dyke. From a lanky kid in Danville to America's favorite sitcom dad, he didn't just entertain us. He helped shape what American comedy, family TV, and movie musicals even are. If we've done our job today, hopefully you're walking away a bit more sophisticated with a sharper Van Dyke IQ and maybe a better sense of why the man still matters 100 years later. Whether you adore his goofy physical comedy, admire his optimism, or just marvel at the fact that he's still dancing at 99, Dick reminds us that joy is a skill and one you never have to age out of. His legacy isn't just entertainment, it's the way he made people feel lighter in a world that can get pretty heavy. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and pass it along to someone who thinks Dick Van Dyke is just that old guy from a movie their parents made them watch. We'd like to think we've shared just enough information to make you either a little more enlightened or at least slightly more sophisticated around your fellow humans. Well, sorta. So until next time, stay curious and stay charming.
And get drunk.
No! Sober. Sober life.